Yeah, so that was a different mic, but we can have that discussion.
Yeah.
Sometime when Adam isn't talking, listening to us talk about microphones.
Oh, he's going to listen. No.
I can listen to you guys talk about microphones. That's all good.
I'm just kidding.
You're listening to the Music Manumit Podcast for February 15th, 2015. Learn more at musicmanumit.com.
Hi, and welcome to another Music Manumit. I am Tom, and joining me is Doug. Hi, Doug.
Hello, Tom.
How you being?
Well, more mic trouble, but supposedly, well, what I hear from you guys is that this mic sounds okay. Not yes. as good as last week.
It is okay.
Yeah, so I have the camera almost in a place where I can look at the camera and see at least you this week, Tom.
Ah.
So that's unusual, because normally I have it where that I am. It looks like I'm looking at the camera if I'm looking at the show notes, but because I'm using the camera and the mic at the same time, I didn't want to do that this time. So
and,
we were talking about mics before we got on, and now we're talking about mics again.
Exactly, and we said, let's stop talking about mics and let's do the show, and then we start the show and start talking about mics.
Right.
Yeah, so. And the fact that you get the pleasure of seeing me while I speak, unlike everybody else listening to the show. So you poor people out there. And joining us today, we also have Alex from Wings of Wax.
No,
did I say
no,
Alex? No. I meant Adam. You Jesus.
Did. It's right in front of your face.
Right in front.
That's
no,
really weird,
you know
man.
What I
My
did?
Younger brother's name is Alex.
Really? So maybe that's what it was. Yeah. I'm actually channeling your younger brother.
Weirdness going on.
Where in the hell did I get Alex from? I did that. Okay, so brief second here. So I was texting somebody the other day, and they were with someone that I knew from work. And I just typed like a random different name when I was like, oh, say hi to blah, blah, blah for me. And they're like, who in the world is that? And I'm like, why did I just type someone else's name? Anyway, so we have Adam. Hi, Adam.
Hello. How's it going?
Good, I suppose, whoever you are. and you're in the band On Wings of Wax. Now, first of all, I'm going to do like I always do and say, you know what, for the people out there who might not have any idea who you are, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about your band?
Sure thing. Well, On Wings of Wax is me, I guess. I am the band, so to speak. It's, I guess, a recording project, a home studio project that I do in my spare time, which sounds like a lot of different things. Most, I guess, post-rock, post-metal broadly. But it's, yeah, my recording thing, and it's a whole bunch of fun.
Yeah, and the I saw when I was listening to some of your stuff before the show, it is being referred to as post-rock. And now the funny thing is I've always heard the term post-rock, and I always thought I kind of knew what it was. But I really don't. You know, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's post-rock. You know, I don't have any clue. But so yours is considered post-rock. Is that kind of self-appointed, or has it just been referred to as that? I mean, I guess, do you have any background on what the living heck post-rock is?
Not really. I mean, I guess you have to be Mogwai or Explosions in the Sky or someone to really know what post-rock is.
Yeah.
You just put post in front of a genre and it's like its own thing. So that's really the extent of my insight.
Or is it just it's because like you're putting it online?
People got tired of referring to this stuff as prog rock and now it's post-rock, I guess.
See, yeah.
Or,
that's what I
or like
say.
Prog rock has like certain connotations. Like to me, this is progressive rock. But like,
yep.
It's not, you know, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. So maybe that's why they're like, well, if we call it progressive rock, people are going to think this.
Yeah.
So we got to call it something else. I don't know.
Yeah, and it does have some vibe like that, but it is actually more progressive, I would say. When I was listening to it, I was just like, you know, it's kind of driving in parts, but yet it creates mood, you know.
Mm. Well, there's this word for the sort of metallic type of that post-rock is the djent. I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing that right, the djent. I know that like you left metal a long time ago before like it splintered into like 1,000 different subgenres.
Right.
But I think that's the like the good word or the like the most specific word to use for this type of music.
Djent?
Yeah. Djent. And that was right, by the way, djent.
Oh.
Describing the noise a heavy guitar makes, djent.
Hmm. Okay. So it's really a sound effect.
Yeah, it's an onomatopoeia originally.
There you go. Wow. Good use of the word. Nice.
But yeah, look, categorization is always a funny thing. I mean, the last record I did was called Gent broadly, but it's pretty much whatever people choose to label it. Because I venture out and as you probably could hear, I just record whatever I feel like I should record, and it is thereby hard to stick into one genre or another. So, yeah, kind of post-rock, post-metal, prog rock, it's whatever. I don't really know. It's a hard, I've always struggled answering this question.
and it's funny too. It's ironic because I actually really, when that sort of thing comes up, I mean, it's the whole like, what do you sound like? And it's the dreaded question of every band until you finally reach the status where people can say bands sound like you, you know. So,
well,
that'll be
the day. The other thing is that bands don't always stick to one genre, you know. Like you start off doing one thing and then it progresses to another thing at some other time. So you know, that makes it tough to say, well, we are this. It's like, we were this, now we're this. I mean, your band, Tom, has done that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the whole thing, is like, people always asked us what we were, and we used to make the joke, because the band's name is Lorenzo's Music. We go, oh, we sound like Lorenzo's Music, and they'd be like, what's that? And we'd be like, that's us, and it's playing words. And then we'd start a whole thing, and it was really just avoiding the issue. It was a diversion tactic. but when I was listening to it too, that was one of the things I was wondering at first. So I was checking out the new release that you have on Bandcamp, and I was listening to it and I was like, is this one guy? Cause I'm looking at the notes and everything. And so you do everything yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. In its entirety, from writing, the recording process, playing all the instruments, et cetera. Though I do get a healthy dose of help from a couple of good friends as well when it comes to the post-production side of things.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I was totally wondering that. Except, I noticed that you don't sing. What's going on with that? What, you're not good enough? What? No, I'm kidding. so is it meant to be instrumental, or is there a reason for not really singing on it?
Now it is instrumental on purpose. Yeah, it goes back to when the project started. I mean, I was in a band which had a vocalist, and then I started writing my own stuff, and I was like, man, it'd be cool to have a vocalist or do this in a band. But then as I wrote more and more, and also as a side note, I'm not really confident as a singer myself. So it went from writing music that could have a vocalist over it to, this is pretty cool. Not having vocals, there's a lot more headroom to put more guitars in there and more bass or more whatever. And so now it's just kind of an instrumental project. It's what it is. Yeah, it's really cool.
And I did enjoy listening to it, but that I didn't realize until like the third song I had listened to, I was like, oh yeah, there are no vocals here. So it's not that, you know, like, damn it, you must have vocals. And the other thing too is like, coming from, like, you know, growing up and having to be in bands that wanted to do Queensryche covers and things like that. Not that you're Queensryche, but I mean, with a lot of the extra guitar work and stuff that's pretty driving in it. Sometimes the vocals on it, it's like, just why is there singing here? So
yeah, for sure. I mean, my really early stuff, you could have got snuck a vocalist in there, but then, I mean, it's at a point now where it's not even a consideration, so I sort of do whatever I like. So to jam a vocalist on top now would be undesirable.
I would agree. And, you know, and then, of course, after we say this, now you're going to go get a vocalist and you guys are going to come back and tell me what a dick I was for saying that.
Well, I was going to say, because it's released under a remixable license, as long as it was a non-commercial release, somebody could record their own vocals on top of it.
Totally should.
Feel free to. Anyone out there, go for it. I mean, that's why Creative Commons is so awesome. I mean, if anyone picks this up and wants to mess with it, go and do it. I'd love to hear it.
Nice. And so did you record everything with the instruments, or did you program some of it, or what's your process?
Yeah, no worries. Predominantly, it is recorded with live instruments. The only limitation in being a bedroom project is live acoustic drums is nigh on impossible. So I'd have programmed those for the last few records with various tune track products. So, Easy Drummer and Superior Drummer are really good sample packs that most people in my position use. But yeah, besides that, it's all you know, real guitars, real bass, keyboards here and there are played live, and yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I was wondering about that, if you actually were just recording it at home, or if you were going into a studio, or if you happened to just have tons and tons of equipment. I mean, what are you using, I suppose?
Yeah, I predominantly have a lot of guitars. I have a knack for just collecting as many guitars as I can. But the rig in itself, I do record all at home. I've just collected gear over time, you know. So being a guitar guy, that everything centers around, I've got this thing called an 11 rack, which is kind of just like an amp simulator and an effects unit, which plugs straight into my computer and into Pro Tools from there. So that's my interface. And just, yeah, being at home, I just noodle away, you know. Whenever I've got spare time, I plug in and see what comes out when my hands pick up a guitar and start playing.
Nice. And I'm assuming, just because of when I was searching for the band before the show, On Wings of Wax is kind of a throwback to Icarus?
Yeah. Yeah? I was looking back. I mean, how long I've been doing this for, and it's been 5 years, so that was like what late teenage me thought would be a cool name. And now the name sticks. But I was into Greek mythology and all that at the time, and I didn't want to just call it, you know, something Icarus or the fall of Icarus or whatever, so I tried to come up with some unique derivation of the story.
Well, yeah,
it's still kind of cool, I mean, but I don't know.
Well, and you got to worry about, if you were just to do straight up Icarus, I mean, how long are you going to get? Half of the results are going to be Iron Maiden, and half of the results are going to be actual Icarus, and half, you know, that. But I got to tell you, when I was searching for it, putting the on before it actually makes a huge difference in the search results.
Yeah?
Yeah, oh, it does. Because at first I put in Wings of Wax, and then I saw Doug's calendar invite reminder pop up, and I was like, oh, it's On Wings of Wax, and I did that, and it actually shows up a lot easier. Plus, the amount of traffic you've been getting from Bandcamp probably doesn't hurt either.
I mean, oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, your stuff's Bandcamp been blowing up.
Yeah, this album cycle has well surpassed any expectations I had. I mean, you just upload it, and you see how it goes, and then bam, I mean... I don't know if you know, guys know, with Bandcamp, you get X amount of free download credits that you can offer to people per month, and I smashed through 700 and something of them, you know, within a few days of the record going up. So it was pretty surreal experience.
And I mean, you had to have done more than that people heard about it. Like, you just put it up there and everybody said, hey, everyone, come here, look this way. This thing got uploaded. I mean, was there some word of mouth at least?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And look, I'd be amiss to not mention that I did push it pretty hard on Facebook and, you know, using some of their ad channels at least and all that sort of stuff. But, I mean, this is the third full length I've done, so there was a bit of, you know, fans from the last two that jumped on it and that sort of thing. It's a mail campaign and that as well, with mailing lists and all that sort of jazz. But, yeah, it still was a lot more traffic than I anticipated, even with trying to push it out there, you know, put it into people's faces.
Yeah. And
so, Tom, I have a question for you, because I don't see, looking at the Bandcamp, where you're finding out these stats. Are you just looking at the Facebook page and seeing the just the notice about the Bandcamp? Because I'm just sort of curious going forward, like, you knew that it was blowing up on Bandcamp, but how would someone know that?
Well, one is because there's a with the fan thing that they have. Usually when you look at bands, unless they're pretty well renowned, there's like maybe two or three. And this one not only has a whole row of them, which I'm assuming means that there's probably more of fans that have actually supported the artist. And there's also a review in there. I've never seen anybody actually write a review in the supported thing. So that's where I was like, okay, dude's got some stuff going on. So you'll see the icons under there if they're yeah, a other band. But that's how I was thinking that. And I saw the post on Facebook. That leads me to another question that I was asked too, looking at the Bandcamp thing. So with you doing all the music, are you going to be like all talented and the one that does the art too, or what?
No, the art's not my forte.
Okay,
I mean, I mess around with it, but yeah, no, my good buddy, who lives over in Denmark. I think his name's Chris Patterson, and he does all the visual art. Pretty much for me, just out of the goodness of his heart. He's a really nice guy, and he's done he did the last record and this record with me visually, and he's also a studio audio engineer, so he did the mastering on this record and the last record as well.
Oh, okay, that's handy. So you actually did get it mastered.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he where he works now, he's got access to piles of really cool gear in his studio. So I sent it over there, and he did the mastering, and of course he lent his ear while I was going through the mix process. Sort of, I sent mixes to him, and he's like, "No, you could do this or that a little better." And so I went back to the drawing board. So he's definitely a big contributor to the last couple of records.
So I know we have at least one listener in Denmark, so I'll just say that Mr. Patterson is in. Or I don't. Did I say that right, Patterson? There's not two T's. There's only one.
Yeah, correct.
Okay. He's in Aarhus. I don't know if I pronounced that correctly. Aarhus. I never even heard of that place, and I know a lot of places, so must not be very big.
And that is the question I wanted to ask you now. So I just realized when you said Denmark that I was like, wait a minute, you have an accent. So where are you from? I just now realized that you have an accent. We talked to so many different people on the show. It didn't even occur to me that you have an accent.
No, I'm Australian, born and bred. I've been my whole life here. So down in sunny old Melbourne, which is in Victoria, sort of the southeast corner of Australia.
Ah, nice. What made you come up here? You're in the U.S. now?
No, I'm still located down here.
Oh, you are?
In Australia. Actually never been overseas, unfortunately.
That's funny. I'm all confused because we're talking to you during... Usually we have to schedule a different time when we do people that are in different countries. So.
Yeah, but they're 16 hours ahead of us. So
yeah, I don't know
it's
that.
Like 1 p.m. 1 p.m. there, right? 1 p.m.? Is that right?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Exactly, yeah. Well, now 20 past 1, but yeah, it's early afternoon, right. Just after lunch.
Oh, so I'm all confused. Okay, well, that's good to know. Oh, I guess I didn't know that, but now I do. So
remember when we had Alan on that one time?
Yeah, we had to do it on a Saturday afternoon.
No, it was Friday night. It was Saturday afternoon for him.
Oh, maybe it was.
Anyway.
I don't know from time. So what got you involved in being a Creative Commons artist? You've been putting, according to your Bandcamp page, you've been putting stuff out since 2011. Were you doing
correct.
It the whole time, or is it something you discovered along the way?
I did discover it, luckily, pretty early on with the whole musical venture. When I first started using Bandcamp, I didn't really look into it, so I'd left it at the default license. But then who did I find out from? I think it was Cloud Kicker, who you may be from. I think you guys have interviewed him, actually. I was really into him, and I'd noticed he releases under Creative Commons, so I go, man, I should look into this. Because, I wasn't trying to make any crazy money or keep all the songs to myself, so I did a bit of research, and I thought, man, this is pretty cool. You know, people don't have to worry about, messing with the record after they've downloaded it and can use it for their own purposes, so... jumped on that as soon as I realized how sweet Creative Commons actually is.
So that was just by example that you learned about it.
Exactly right.
Huh.
Yeah. So big fan of his work, and I'm thinking, man, he's doing something right. So I did some further research. For guys like us, I reckon it's the best way to go rather than sort of trying to be draconian and tell everyone off for using 5 seconds of one of the songs in some random YouTube clip.
Right. And have you been noticing your music being used a lot in YouTube since you've made the switch?
Not really specifically. At least I haven't been informed of it. But they have appeared on various other streaming sites and that sort of thing. And actually, recently I was contacted by some gentleman who wants to do a remix as well. So yeah, that's pretty cool. I'm looking forward to hearing that.
Well, have you ever done a vanity search on YouTube? Where you just type in your own name and see what pops up?
Oh, like that's what they're called. Yeah, of course. I do that frequently.
Because here's a little tip on one way to kind of... Because when you type it in, it'll actually by default do like the most relevant or something like that. What you really want to do is you click on the filter and you do it by time, and it'll show you the most recent ones. So it'll show you if people are doing it currently, especially with a new album out. Because some of those, when you first look, you'll just be like, oh, these are all the same ones that were here last time. So what you can do is you can filter that way, and then you'll see if people have uploaded it within the past day or in the past month. So that's a good way to check on that stuff, too. I actually find a lot of cool stuff that's been that uses our music that way. Plus, it's also good really to make sure they're attributing it right, just so they can lead you back. I mean, you can reach out to them and go like, hey, I saw you using my music, and make sure you attribute it to my Bandcamp page or whatever the heck.
There you go. I actually didn't know that was a thing, so yeah. I'll keep that in mind in future.
Yeah, it's handy. It's actually kind of fun, and sometimes it's a nice little pick-me-up to do a search like that and go, oh, cool, look at these people using my music. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's kind of fun to do. And now I actually had a question for Doug, kind of. So we've talked before in the past about when you assign a Creative Commons license to something, you can't really retroactively go back and then change that license, correct?
If you know what you're doing, then you do it, then no, you can't.
Okay. And then that was my question is that the same, like if you just release stuff and by default you're just like he did, if you upload it and it's, you just have it under their default license, which is probably just copyright of whatever, you can go back and switch that to Creative Commons, correct?
Yeah, I mean, so it's like one way you can, so like the thing, same thing with like the non-commercial, like if he were to release it under the BY-SA, you can't go back later and stick on the non-commercial tag. It doesn't work like that. I mean, there is some sort of like weird licensing stuff. Like, you know, would like the person have to go back to Bandcamp? So like, let's say the person downloaded one of the first albums while it was all copyright. Would they have to go back and re-download it and get the new license? I would say no. That seems silly, but actually don't know what the answer is. And so, but the opposite question is there. So like, could you make a more restrictive license on it and people would just have to go somewhere else to get it? Maybe that's the case. But you can't put the genie back in the bottle, basically. Right. Is what it sounds
good. But that's just with the Creative Commons license. With if I remember correctly, going back, Creative Commons can be added to copyright. You can have something that's copyright like 2014 and then Creative Commons attribution.
Well, right. So it's always going to be copyrighted.
Right.
You can't, or at least, that depends, that changes country to country. Right. Australia is probably close to the U.S. because it's, you know, a former British colony like ourselves. You know, the continental model, the French model primarily of copyright is like way different than the English model. So basically you need to know the country to a certain extent, how that works.
I would hope he knows his country. I didn't know his country. We made that clear earlier. but I just wanted to point out that we had talked about, you can't retroactively change the actual Creative Commons license on something like that, but I just wanted to make clear that if something was that way, you can add Creative Commons to a copyrighted piece.
Since we talked about it a little bit longer, I will say a little bit more about the caveat that I mentioned earlier. Like if somebody just like accidentally clicks on Creative Commons on Bandcamp and it's like Creative Commons and then they're like, oh, I didn't mean to do that, yeah. Then that's not going to count. Now, if they change their mind, that's different. But like, if it's legitimately an accident, and like, how do you prove that it was legitimately an accident? Well, if you do it in like the first 10 minutes or something, then you can probably say, oh,
I love it. It has a 5-second rule. Like when you drop something on the floor.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's just sort of like, you know, you're going to just going to have to look at it and decide whether or not they're lying or not, basically, yeah, is what it amounts to. So,
oh, okay. And that being said, Adam, why did you go with the license that you chose? What made you choose the non-commercial share alike?
It's a good question, actually.
Thank you.
I guess at the time, I mean, I've stuck with it for a couple of years now. I'm just sort of trying to refresh my memory. I guess the main thing was with the attribution, I guess, in my mind was that I wanted to, have people do whatever they like with the song or a record, as long as there was some sort of reference back to the original source. So that was probably the key for me, you know. Possibly I'll get less restrictive as time goes on as well. But that was the focus, really, I suppose, is at least ensuring attribution, you know.
Okay. And the and of course that would be the people being able to use it on YouTube for stuff like that, but not necessarily for commercial reasons. Of course, they can always contact
you. Exactly.
That doesn't
exactly.
mean that Which it can be... never be used.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, non-commercial, I wouldn't want someone picking it up for any sort of nefarious deeds and trying to... Not that they'd make a crap load of money out of my music, but just the principle of it, I suppose.
Right. Do you play out at all, being a solo artist, or are you pretty much just a recording only type guy?
I go through phases, you know. I mean, with this project especially, it's like every couple of months. I haven't taken this project specifically to the stage, but I always toy with the idea in my mind. If I did, I just want to make sure it's sort of. I want to find the right people for it, because, you know, I don't do this full time, you know, I have a job and all that stuff, so there'd have to be a more relaxed thing. You know, we wouldn't rehearse every weekend and be all serious about it. It'd have to be more chill, and there'd be certain logistic issues as well. I mean, so many sort of layers and loops and weird noises that go onto the record. They probably have like 9 guitarists on stage or something crazy that to try and get
What's wrong with
somewhere
that?
Close to what it sounds like.
Yes, now you have to do this live.
Yeah, I want to see that.
So going back sort of retrospectively, and it's possible, but there's times when I'm keen to take it to stage, and there's times where I just think, nah, it's really cool just to record whenever I feel like recording and put it on Bandcamp when it's done. You know, so, I mean, that being said, with other projects, like with I spent a few months in my brother's band before they split playing bass and that sort of thing. So
I do like the stage. Oh, yeah, my good friend Alex's band.
Yes, your very good friend that we talked about at the start of the show. He was in a band which I played in for a while, so... I do stage, you know, live is always, it's a whole nother ball game. It's an awesome time, but for the moment, this project is hemmed into the studio.
Okay. And it has to be difficult too. Like, if you were to bring other people in and be like, no, you're not doing that right. You know, I mean, you can't just like willy nilly let people go, oh, I got this, you know, and they're like, what? It sounds just like it.
I don't know. I'm not even sure I'd be the right person to tell them off. I mean, because the way I write, I sort of sit down with one basic idea, and then for 2 or 3 hours I mess around until I find the part that fits. But then 3 months later, I'm like, crap, how did I play that again? And then I have to go back and listen to it. And I'm pretty sure I only remember about 50% of the stuff I've written in terms of how to actually play it again.
Oh, man. One of the things that I actually had to start doing, because that's not uncommon with any musician, especially just coming up with stuff and like, oh, that's really cool. We should have recorded that. Oh, I'll remember it. You know, whatever. Or even if you did record it, I've gotten in the habit of, because even if you play it back, they'll like my guitarist will be playing stuff and going, I don't know how I did that. And so I've started just, instead of recording it on audio, I will turn on my phone and videotape his hands when he's playing something like that. Because that way, like a month or so later, I can go, this is how you did it. Because he'll claim he doesn't know, and then I'll show it to him. That sounds spiteful when I say it that way, though. I meant it's supposed to be helpful, and I'm like, this is how you did it, dumbass. No.
Man, that's actually exactly what I've been doing. Because I've started writing material for another record. But just in spots. So like when I think of a riff or something, I chuck on my phone and I talk to future Adam saying, hey, remember how to play this when you sit down and record it.
Nice. Yeah. You have to. And then do you always say thank you to that Adam when you learn in the future?
I tend to be pretty rude. I'm like, hey, don't forget, man. Like the tuning is this and this is where you played it. Like, make sure you remember, otherwise you suck at music, or I don't know.
Right. And then you're like, God, that past Adam is such a dick. I hope I never come face to face with that guy. It'll be like that movie, The Notebook or the Lake House or something like that, where they could only communicate through time in some like mailbox or something, but they were actually like in different timelines. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
I want to say it's a Keanu Reeves movie, but not like one of his action ones, one of his girl ones.
It's one of the ones where he had to act and therefore had some problems.
No, that never comes into play. I had to act. Come on. Whoa, I'm writing this now. So now if you're doing that, you just released this album like this year and it's only like February right now.
So, no, it was in February when he...
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it was 2015.
I mean, you weren't wrong, just not specific.
Yeah, damn it. Whatever. Breaking my mojo over here. Do you just move on to the next one? Is that what you're doing? You're already just like, I'm done with this one. Like, you threw the baby out the window, and now you're like, let's have another one. That's a weird analogy.
Pretty. look, I suppose the thing though, I mean, with this record, it went out first of February, so a couple of weeks ago, but it was actually like the writing and recording process was done, geez, like 6 months ago, I think, something like that. So I've actually been not writing properly for 6 or 7 months. So in the meantime, I don't stop playing guitar while I'm sort of between records. So I wanted to remember stuff that I was coming up with, you know, as the process moved along. So yeah, the record's just come out, but I've got a whole bunch of new gear and a whole bunch of new ideas that I already wanted to start moving on to. But first I wanted to get this record sort of out of my headspace, because it got delayed a whole bunch of times, you know, working with people overseas and working with some mates who were then no longer available. Oh. Sort of, it was just really dragged on a little bit, unfortunately. So,
what kind of problems did you have? What was the difficulty you had?
Just logistic, really. Just coordinating with people who, effectively, I'm not really paying real monies to help me out. So, trying to coordinate schedules and that sort of thing. It kind of goes back to the last record, because I worked with another mate of mine. His name's James. Who has a little company called Road Camel Audio Branding. So I was working with him last record, and we wanted to work again together for this record, but he's studying at university and was doing overseas placements and traveling while he was out there. So I was trying to sort of still work with him, but it just became like way too difficult just to coordinate that. So sort of the ball fell back in my court for doing all the mixing, so then started that again. So, and then my Chris, who I mentioned earlier, was also on holidays through December and January, so there was a delay on getting the artwork finalized and all that sort of stuff. So just logistic coordination issues with people being in different time zones mostly.
How do you know all these people in different time zones that you can work with musically?
Through the project, luckily enough, except for James, who I just mentioned. He's actually just a mate of mine that I met around Melbourne. I've known him for a few years. But Chris and, I've met a whole bunch of other people from, the States and Canada, and just people who reach out. They listen to the music and they go, hey, man, it was cool. I happen to have a musical project too, or I happen to be an audio engineer or whatever, and they end up being cool people, and you just talk and make friends that way.
That's really cool.
Tom, and if you think the new album has an impressive list of backers, there's like 3 rows for The Escape and 3+ rows for The Empty Bed.
He
knows people.
You show off.
I know a few people. Whoops.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I'm the one saying it, not him. Right. So.
I don't want to be one to gloat.
But gloat. I guess there is no sound effect for gloating, but, I guess it could be. Well, that's more like. That's...
Look at me. That's like French gloating.
Yeah, it was. Oh man. And so you worked with these people and you coordinated some stuff, and I had a question that I was going to ask there, and then we talked about the people following you, and then I forgot what it was. So we're just going to move on to the next one that Doug had here.
Well, I was going to say, so the one Keanu Reeves movie that has time travel is Bill and Ted. I don't know if that's the one you're talking
that
about.
It's true, but that's not what I'm talking about. It's the concept is that they aren't, they're two people that can only communicate through like a mailbox or some junk like that. And they are not in the same time zone. It's not actual time travel. It's that they're able to communicate through some sort of portal. And I want to say it's The Notebook or
The Lake House.
Yes. The Lake House. I think I even said The Lake House at one point in time, but I was guessing. So I wasn't really sticking my guns on that one.
Well, anyway, now we know.
So, and yeah, and now nobody can watch it because it's still a really stupid Keanu Reeves movie. I mean, really, the entire premise is just like, it's just silly. But I don't know why I know about it. I just do. Anyway, so with all these, okay, I remember now. With all these people that you're collaborating with, are you in any of their bands? Are you playing in any other bands? Aside from
no,
you know
I'm
my
actually,
buddy Alex's.
As it is, the latest thing I did with anyone else was actually no, I lie. I am again with my brother.
Liar.
I am recording, I guess, a single with him because he writes lots of cool music, and so he writes the tunes, and I've got the recording set up. So we're working on a track or two at the moment. But besides that, I mean, for the last couple of years, no, I haven't really been in any. Sort of long-term musical endeavors external to my own.
I think that you should expand into some sort of a cappella group just because there are the lack of vocals. Like you should just put a full on, like do like translate all your stuff into like
doo-wop.
Like, yeah. Doo-wop, like full on a cappella, like sing all the parts sort of thing.
Somebody could just do a beatbox remix of all of his albums. That would be
true.
Good.
Very true.
I'm down for that.
Internet, you have projects.
Yeah, exactly. We got all this stuff that we keep telling people to do with your music. And then I was just looking at all the videos on your YouTube page here. There's look at you going outside and playing your guitar.
So, yeah, man.
So is that just you, or do you got people following you around? Are you? Is this the paparazzi?
No, that's me. Definitely me. No such paparazzi. Laying down phone somewhere where it won't, or camera where it won't fall over, and then trying to record.
Awesome. That's actually pretty ballsy to go outside and do that. You know, I mean, you got somewhere you're inside, but there are a couple of you're outside doing it too.
Yeah, yeah. Although I try to pick fairly secretive locations. I don't deal well with open public spaces. So that one where I'm playing guitar, acoustic guitar, I think that's in my grandma's backyard, if it's the one I'm thinking of.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool spot.
You should try busking. I mean, why don't you go out and make some coin? I mean, it's not like you're not talented. give up this release thing. Go out there and, you know, just play for money.
Subscribe to the channel, and if I busk, I'll record it so you can see that I did it for reals.
I mean, and that's the funny thing. It's not like you're not good. There's no reason
I
couldn't
know.
Be out there.
Is there a good busking scene in Melbourne? Like some places it's like, you know, actually a profitable thing to do, and other places it's not.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people do it. A lot of people do it for sure. I mean, it's obviously specifically close to the sort of city itself, sort of right in the heart. There's heaps of them, you know, especially if there's a show going on, because we're lucky to have a heap of live music, you know, going on in Melbourne. So people always find the corner nearby and busk there, or even in the outer sort of cities and suburbs, sort of further away from the central area. There are people, you know, like train stations and on popular coffee shop corners and that sort of stuff. There's always busking going on in anywhere there's people, really. So it's pretty cool.
And Doug, wasn't there, who was it that we had on, and this may be the person you were talking about before and I'm just not remembering, who's the person we had on, he was a solo musician, he was in Australia, but he was moving to London, when we were talking to him, he said he was moving soon to London, he had like the black top hat, and his picture was him sitting on like a clay dinosaur.
Alan lived in Australia, but I don't remember him moving to London. He's from England originally, I believe.
Okay.
So maybe he was moving back, but I don't remember that.
That was a while ago. It was last year.
That was almost a year ago, I think. And the only other Australian I can remember us having on off the top of my head was Isaac Graham, and I don't think it was him. And that was a really long time ago.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, that was I just got I'm looking at Doug typing the show notes, and I saw Melbourne, and I was like, it made me think of that. I don't know why.
The Dissenters. Yeah, there was another Australian
there
band.
You go.
The Dissenters. What the hell is that guy's name? I don't remember him moving to London, but I remember the dinosaur in the top hat.
Yes. Okay, thank you. No, that was part of the conversation. He was actually moving. He was getting out of there.
Was it to London, England?
Yes.
Or because there's like London, Kentucky. I mean,
you never think of that. You know, it never occurs to you when people say that. Like with the only reason I know of Paris, Texas is because there was a band and there was a movie called Paris, Texas. I mean, of course, Paris, Texas also exists, but you don't think of that.
Is there a London, Australia?
Not to my knowledge,
okay.
No.
Okay.
Maybe he just meant London, Australia. I don't know.
Maybe.
But if there's not one, then that's probably not.
Could be somewhere sort of in the outback where not many people go, but I don't know why he would move there.
Like somebody just named their commune that?
Yeah.
Pretty much. There's a lot of empty space in Australia, like right in the middle. So, I mean, you could just form London, Australia if you wanted to.
Yeah. So the guy who's in the Dissenters, whose name I have not yet found, he is from Melbourne.
Okay.
But he was like moving back and forth between a place in Australia is what I remember.
Oh, maybe that was it.
Yeah.
Maybe
it was London, Australia. I'll figure it out. Continue your conversation.
Yeah, it was just when you wrote down Melbourne, I was like, we've talked to somebody from there. I mean, you as well, Adam. So, I mean, of course. Oh man! So what kind of stuff do you have in the works for this new album? What kind of things are you gonna wow and bedazzle us with? Any hints you can give us?
Mostly playing with new gear I've got. I bought a Gibson SG guitar, which is really sweet. So
nice.
I mostly just want to record with that. But conceptually, I kind of want to strip back a little bit. In terms of the amount of instrumentation and the layering, the last two records are sort of, there's been passages where, you know, you have the main guitar riff and then you chuck and one more riff over that and you're like, this sounds kind of cool. And then I just lose control and there's like six or seven guitars doing different things at the same time, which becomes a nuisance when it gets into post-production because trying to fit everything into, a limited sonic space becomes really chaotic and can be frustrating, you know, because you can't hear the one particular part of the given song. So the main sort of goal is to try and strip back a little bit, sort of keep it a little more simplistic while still keeping that sort of ambient, open, sort of driven vibe going on.
The next time we have you on the show with the next album, the genre will be minimalist. That's what we'll be calling it.
That sounds fair to me. But yeah, moving more into that sort of open, ambient sort of space as well, towards the, not necessarily the softer side of things, but I've been listening to like a lot of ambient, more chilled out music lately. So yeah, hopefully some of that influence will come through.
So you don't do the Billy Corgan method, which is he does like the same guitar track 26 times. Because he says that, like, he found that method, like, he would double his guitar, then double it again, then double it and double it. And I want to say the exact quote is something like, and after, like, the 26th one, it just has something. And it's like, yeah, 26 guitars playing the same part. I don't know. I always found that a bit ridiculous when he did that.
It's slightly, there is credence to playing the same track,
right,
the same guitar track twice or whatever, exactly the same, because it can sound, like in a rock or metal mix, it can sound a lot fatter, for lack of a better term.
But, oh, definitely.
Yeah, I did that a bit on the previous record, the Empty Bed, but not so much this one or the next one. It'll be sort of a lot less focused on sounding massive and angry, but more on the relaxed side, I think.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, I'm not against doubling the guitar or doing a couple of takes like that, but I mean 26.
26 is absurd.
That's just we have all the studio money to burn, you know. it just seems kind of
because you're Billy Corgan, you just may as well.
Exactly, I suppose. You know, and now it's expected. Now it's to the point where it's just like, what, he should put out an album where he only records like one track of guitar, and everybody's gonna just they'll be like, what's this?
Now 26 is the benchmark, so he can never do less than 26 now.
I don't know. He set himself up, really. He's got to start hiring interns. Yeah. So is, I guess I wanted to ask before we go today, is there, first of all, anybody in the Creative Commons realm or anybody in the that you've met in the Creative Commons realm that you think we should try and get on the show to talk to?
Let me have a think. That's a good question.
Right. Again,
I should probably. You're doing. You're doing fantastic. I'm scrolling through. I'm trying to pick out. I'm on my Bandcamp sort of collection page. I'm trying to think of a friend that's awesome that I can help out. Why do they have them listed as all rights reserved? What are these people? I have to talk to them.
Yeah. Get them. Go get them.
That's bad. I thought they would be Creative Commons for sure.
Well, so I've found, well, we've found multiple times that people will have their stuff like listed as Creative Commons somewhere else, but then not on Bandcamp for whatever reason. Like, it's just like, I don't know. I've never uploaded anything, but apparently it was or is hard to find the Creative Commons stuff on Bandcamp.
It's not extremely clear. Yeah. You just upload it and you're like, there you go. And it automatically, if you don't, if you don't put anything on it, it automatically defaults to the copyright. So it's not a required step.
Yeah, I'm still surprised though. I mean, I had three or four people in mind. I'm going to have to tell them that Creative Commons is better.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
So I may have to pass on that question, unfortunately.
Okay. You can get back
when
to us.
When you've convinced them, let us know who they are, and then
I will. Just... I will get them for you.
All right. And then the other thing we'd like to ask, a lot of the time we talk to people this entire time and then realize that there was something that they're doing that we had no idea about. So is there anything else you'd like to tell us about that maybe you're working on or something you're doing or something that's outside of even the music that you create?
I'm a boring kind of guy.
Come on, you're delightful.
When we finish this track, my brother and I, that'll go up on the Bandcamps, I'm pretty sure. I believe it should be released under the name of his old band, which is Your World in Ruins. They are a very cool, very heavy sort of band, or they were. And they should have a new track coming up that I'm recording. So, keep an eye out for that, I'd say.
So using phrases as band names is kind of hereditary?
I suppose so, yeah. But I was first, so he copied me, really. He's the younger brother, so I'm always right.
That's true. You do got that going for you.
How it goes down.
And then...
you know, it's too bad we don't have, like, an open slot next week, because we should have had Alex on next week.
So we could talk shit about him.
and call him Adam.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't do that to my good buddy Alex.
I just looked up the band, and I was like, oh, it's under Creative Commons, so...
Yeah,
because he's copying Adam.
The only bummer is that the band itself doesn't exist as a unit. They split up a couple months ago.
This EP is not Creative Commons, actually, so you'll need to get on your brother as well.
The new one, the record, All Too Human, should be... I think the first one they probably didn't even realize because it was so long ago. But I'll get him to update that.
Yeah, it was only 2012. I mean,
that's pretty much when they started, I think.
2012.
Just trying to think back. But the new record's like leagues ahead, and so it's good that one's at least Creative Commons. That's a pretty sick record.
Nice. Yeah, everybody will have to check that out. And then also, okay, so we're going to play the song Okay, This Isn't So Bad, which I hope that's how you feel about this interview. But we're going to be playing that song. Would you like to tell everyone a little bit about the song before we play that out today?
Yeah, sure. It's track number two. That's where the record really starts to open up, and it starts with a nice big, heavy sort of riff that comes out of nowhere. So Yeah, some really cool, pretty nice, open, chimey, reverby guitars. So it's a good listen. But more broadly, I mean, the six tracks actually are one long track that I recorded sort of all together. So hopefully it doesn't sound too out of context. But yeah, it's sort of the when the heaviness and hugeness of the record starts to come in.
And it's going to progressive / post-rock itself all over you.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever we decided.
And it won't let you forget anytime soon.
All right. Well, Adam, it was great having you on the show today.
No, no worries, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
And then here is the song "Okay, This Isn't So Bad" by On Wings of Wax. And this has been another Music Manumit podcast at musicmanumit.com.